safe distance from the swamp. And that's why you're listening to 930 WFMD.
It's the Morning News Express at 612 WFMD. 301-694-9363-301-694-WFMD. In the studio, the mayor of the city of Frederick, Mayor Mike O'Connor, joins us. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Robert.
Let's get right to it. I mean, you know, let's not off with the, you know, we could sit here and talk baseball and how horrible the Orioles are. You're a huge baseball fan.
I am as disconnected from this team as any team in the last, as long as I've been watching baseball, going back to the mid-1970s.
They don't allow you to be connected.
It's been difficult. So the saving grace has been that I can still proudly say, let's go Caps. Yeah. That's the kind of baseball season it's been.
Yeah, right. You have got a new executive assistant.
And yes.
A local person, too. A Tuscarora graduate, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, Guyon Sampson,
just for Diana Gibson. He said it. Diana was like, tell us how you say that, his first name. So tell me a little bit about him and why he got the job.
So one of the things that I've had the opportunity to watch Guyon pretty closely over the last 6 months, because he's been sitting on one of the work groups that we had put together post-inauguration, Strategic Opportunities Advisory Team, and impressed with his thought process, the way he works through issues. For a young man, he has a breadth of experience already. He's got some experience working in local government, in state government, and even with our federal representatives. He also, if you think about it from the division of government side, if you look at his experience, he clerked in Judge Dwyer's office a number of years ago and has spent time working in legislative arenas and for the executive branch of government. So he's got experience that runs the breadth and depth of what we're trying to accomplish in local government. And while it's not extensive experience because of his age, I think in a short period of time, what he's shown is an acute understanding of the issues, of the ways to bring people together. And for the approach that I want this executive assistant to take in terms of being, in many respects, an external relations position within the mayor's office, I just think he brings a wealth of talent and enthusiasm that will really serve the city well.
We'll get into that coming up on the Morning News Express. More with the mayor of the city of Frederick, Mayor Mike O'Connor. You got a comment or a question? 301-694-9363, 301-694-WFMD. You can also use the Ring Kirby Mitsubishi text line, same number, 301-694-WFMD.
Rick here with Dixie Electric, our radio app.
It's the Morning News Express, 620 at WFMD. The mayor of the city, Frederick, Mayor Michael O'Connor, is in the studio this morning. If you'd like to have a conversation with him, you can send your question on our Ring Kirby Mitsubishi text line, 301-694-9363, 301-694-WFMD. So you have a new executive assistant, Guyon. I was wondering who, they shared his salary in the Frederick News Post. Who sets that salary? I mean, is there is that a salary that you set? And as your executive assistant, that does not have to be okayed by the council, right?
Not this one. There are other positions within the organization that do require the Board of Aldermen to approve. Salaries and grades and titles and all of those sorts of things are set by the Board of Aldermen.
Okay.
And in terms of determining what the appropriate grade and salary for position should be, the job description gets run through our Human Resources Department, and they compare it to similar job descriptions in other areas to make sure that we're in the right ballpark in terms of that, but also within the grade structure that the city of Frederick has.
So then when you go, okay, this is my guy, or this is my person, whatever, then you turn it over to Human Resources so they negotiate the salary? Or is it that you sit down and say, hey, guy, and here's what I'm going to pay you, and he's like, yeah, no, that's not going to work. Okay, here's what I'm going to pay you. Okay.
That's pretty much what happens is Human Resources does, based on the job description and some general aspects of the benefits package of the City of Frederick, draft an offer letter. And under certain circumstances, that offer letter may be sent out by HR. In this instance, that offer letter was sent by me, which includes salary information and basic benefits information. Certainly, we're open to all sorts of kinds of questions about any of those things, but the option at that point goes to the candidate to decide whether to accept that. And if there's some aspect of that that is negotiable, then we can continue to negotiate.
Yeah. Somebody told me a long time ago, it's not how much you're worth, it's how much you negotiate.
Exactly.
Yeah. You mentioned that his job will be different from the previous mayor, Mayor McClement's executive assistant, which was Nikki Bamonte, who actually used to work here. How so, in your mind, are these two positions now different?
So this is a lot based on my observations of the way in which Nikki did her job for Mayor McClement. And she was terrific in that role. And she served in many respects as kind of a combination of both the external relations, some of that outward facing aspects of the mayor's office, but then some of the internal maneuvering of policy and legislative ideas through the process. I'm envisioning, with the other position that was referenced in the article in which I talked about at the media conference yesterday, there's another executive assistant for administration, which may be more closely aligned to a chief of staff kind of position that would really be more of that inward-facing or internal operational position to take on the day-to-day supervision of the staff within the mayor's office. The mayor already has direct reports at all of the director levels and some of the deputy director levels, but under the current structure, because of the way we're staffed in the mayor's office, I'm also the direct supervisor for an office manager and the public information coordinator. So we're trying to bring in a layer of oversight that's just a little bit more rational and keep those two positions, those last two are not appointees of the mayor. They're brought through a normal hiring process. So we're just trying to set up a structure that's a little more rational. The other piece that makes the whole process more interesting from my perspective is the work that's come out of the strategic opportunities work groups, because those final reports from those groups provides a litany of opportunity for the city of Frederick. And that's not implementation that can be done by the mayor or the directors alone. There will be required good coordination among staff. And so these positions within the mayor's office are really designed, intended, to help be the facilitators of the policy development and keeping those projects and processes moving through the system.
Are those positions, are they new positions, or were they positions that the Mayor Randy McClement had, or are they just a different... I don't want to say amalgamation of combining of them, but is it just there were two people now gone that you're just going to fill those positions, or have you created new positions?
So the charter of the city allows for the hiring of these individuals. Mayor McClement chose not to use that structure. He used the one position that was outlined in the charter, the executive assistant, the position that Nikki had. We looked at the charter and we looked at the organization of the mayor's office. And quite honestly, through the first 6 months, it became really apparent to me. It became apparent to me earlier than the first 6 months, but that a different structure was going to be necessary if we wanted to take the next step. So it was certainly an option that was available. So we're utilizing the charter in the way in which it was written in order to provide full staffing for the mayor's office. We're a city of 70,000 people. And the mayor's office, to my estimation, needs to be larger than the mayor and executive assistant and an office manager and the public information coordinator, which has its own role and responsibility outside of even the policy implementation piece. So we're just trying to create a structure we think is more rational for where the city is now and where the city's going to be in the next 3 to 5 to 10 years to help keep initiatives moving in the right direction.
We'll have more with the mayor of the city of Frederick, Mayor Mike O'Connor, coming up on the Morning News Express, Free Talk 930 WFMD.
I'm Diana Gibson as the Morning News Express continues on Free Talk 930 WFMD.
The Premier Dental Arts Morning News Express on 930 WFMD.
Morning News Express, 635 at WFMD. Let's talk more with the mayor of the city of Frederick, Mayor Michael O'Connor, here on Free Talk 930 WFMD. You can get in on that conversation, 301-694-WFMD. kind of go back a little bit, Mayor, and that is the Don Frost lawsuit against the city of Frederick was thrown out by the courts. In the minds of the city of Frederick, is this a done deal now? Is it?
As far as I'm concerned.
Okay. You don't think he can, you know, there's no legal action that the city of Frederick will turn in return?
No, I wouldn't see why we would.
Okay.
Sorry, that wasn't as interesting as you'd hoped it would be, I'm sure.
Well, you know, it gets to a point when you talk lawsuits anyway, you guys clam up, city officials, all officials clam up when it comes to a lawsuit anyway. Wastewater treatment plant. Now we're going to talk some.
That's some good stuff.
Yeah, I was going to, you know, people know what it was. We still got some issues with that, right?
Well, it's not really issues with the plant itself. It's issues with the amount of rain that's falling and the capacity for the system as it's designed to handle the rain that comes down. Now, the odd thing about that is that rainwater generally doesn't belong in the wastewater treatment system. It's a function of a phenomenon known as inflow and infiltration. The water that can find its way into the sanitary sewer system through manhole covers or cracks in pipes. When you have this much rain and there's the volume of rain that we've seen, the water table rises, and that means in some instances we may have sewer pipes that are actually sitting below the water table, and any crack in those pipes is an entry point for stormwater to find its way into a wastewater system, and we end up with flows at the wastewater treatment plant that far exceed the capacity that the plant is designed to process. And when that happens, we have two choices. We can allow the plant to become overwhelmed, which could result in its failure, and that would be bad. Mm-hmm. Or we can take steps to try and mitigate the potential for a failure of the wastewater treatment plant, which is diversion. If there's an upside to diversion, and it isn't anything that we want to do, is that most of what's being diverted under these kinds of storm events is stormwater, because the normal flows at the wastewater treatment plant are 6 to 8 million gallons per day. Sunday morning, we were at over 28 million gallons being processed in the 6-hour stretch where we had to where we had the overflow situation. So, I mean, that just tells you a little bit about the amount of water that's finding its way into the system. So we've got two things we've got to look at. One is we've done improvements to the wastewater treatment plant to improve the quality of water that's going out. And the question that we have to ask internally is whether or not it is in our interest over the near term or long term to look at expansion to accommodate these kinds of things. Very expensive operation would be an expensive fix, but it may be something that we look at and decide we need to figure out some ways to gain, if not actual treatment capacity, potentially storage capacity. One conversation. The other one is we have to identify where the inflow and infiltration is coming from. We've already got a program in place of doing sewer lining, and we've identified those stretches of the sewer system, and we're on a schedule to line them with the material that stops that infiltration from occurring. We also have a project in place where we do manhole cover changes so that we take out the ones that are not watertight and replace them with ones that are watertight to keep water out of the system. So those are our near-term efforts to try and make sure that we can, to the greatest extent possible, keep non-wastewater from entering the wastewater system. It's only happening in these severe rainstorms, so that's the other aspect that we just don't know. Is the severe rain going to become a more normalized event? It seems like it is, and if so, we've got to think about that as part of the process also.
We'll talk more about that coming up on the Morning News Express and
WFMD, Frederick's News Station.
6:42 at WFMD, talking with the mayor of the city of Frederick, Mayor Michael O'Connor. Okay, a couple of things that we want to maybe just touch a little bit upon the wastewater. One of the things that I remember reading, and I was going to go back and get the story, and I didn't get the story, and that was the fact that you have put in place, I don't know exactly the money. I want to say $300,000 to $500,000 to look at stormwater in Frederick County, in Frederick City, excuse me. And I when I first read that, I'm like, okay, why do we need so much money? Don't we have people already on staff that's their job to do that kind of stuff? Why is it that we need to spend? And I know that's not when it comes to city finances, that's not an exorbitant amount of money to do a study, but it's still seems to be a lot for something that maybe we already have somebody on staff. And so I'm wondering why the money.
Well, we don't necessarily have an extensive stable of engineers that are available to do the kind of evaluation analysis that a study like this is required. We certainly have engineers on staff. We have people who at a certain level are certainly capable and qualified to do it. But if you have them doing a study like this, then it means they're not doing the things that have to be done every day. So there are times when you have to bring in outside individuals in order to expand the bandwidth of your capacity to do things that need to be done. And this is a specialized kind of an evaluation to really look and understand the structure and design of the pipes that are in the ground, because that's really, and this is a specialized kind of an evaluation to really look and understand the structure and design of the pipes that are in the ground, because that's really what we're looking at, and try and determine from a water flow standpoint, is there something else that we can do that will help to move more water or move the water that's already coming more efficiently? And that's about understanding the kinds of fixes that would make a difference. I mean, I could probably look and say, well, if we built this, it would stop water from going there. Right. But you have to understand what the impacts of that are. And so I appreciate very much the concerns that whenever the government spends money on something that seems like outside, when there are probably people in-house who can do some aspects of the work, the idea is to get it done as quickly, as efficiently, as effectively as possible. And the study that we're looking at is for that North Market, 9th Street, mm-hmm. Mater Avenue area, where we've seen extensive impacts over the last two major issues we've had over the last couple of years. But we're hopeful, based on some conversations we've had with FEMA and the Army Corps of Engineers, that we can take the $300,000 that we've got budgeted and perhaps spread it and do more with it. So those are, again, the kinds of things, the larger geography we're looking at. That particular area, the one that we initially targeted, is 400 acres of drainage into 78-inch main that runs out into Monocacy Village Park. We don't know what the fix is going to look like, but we have to go through the right process to understand what mitigation potentially could be.
Is that something that you have to send out for bids, or is that something that you were able to just say, hey, this is who we're going to get?
It really depends on the nature of the conversations that our DPW staff is having right now. If we find a reason where we could save the city money and get an expanded scope by working with FEMA or the Army Corps in order to meet their conditions and requirements, then that would be a reason for us to go that direction. If not, we've got to write a scope and proposal and put it out there and have folks bid on it. So again, our approach is to try and find the most cost-effective, best solution to answer the concerns of the residents of the city.
Mayor of the City of Frederick, Michael O'Connor.
Now, another exciting episode in the life of the most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
This is taking me back.
Yeah, baby.
Chicken! He's everywhere! He's everywhere!
All right, okay. Chickens in downtown Frederick.
All over Frederick, not just downtown.
Well, all over
Actually,
Frederick.
Downtown is probably the one place where they won't be, except in our fine dining establishments.
Well, why is that? Are there no duplexes downtown?
They probably can't meet the lot setback restriction. Okay. So in order to have chickens, you have to have a lot of a certain square footage, number one. You have to be able to have open square footage of a certain amount of square feet per chicken. You have to be able to meet side and rear setback requirements. And many of the lots in downtown Frederick probably aren't wide enough. I want to say it's 10 feet. So if you're only in a 20 or 22 foot wide lot, you may run into issues of meeting that requirements, because you have to build an enclosure as well and have fencing to keep the chickens within that enclosure. They can run free in the yard, but there have to be places where they can go at night. So it just, there's all sorts of obstacles with having chickens in downtown Frederick based on the current way the ordinance is written.
The ordinance did allow for chickens now to be in duplexes. So do you have to have the permission of the your homeowner beside you?
Not your homeowner, but I thought you were going to go homeowners association. If you live in a homeowners association, our rules don't preempt those rules, so you're going to have to do whatever your homeowners association tells you to do. But no, you wouldn't necessarily, if there aren't any other rules to prevent it, you would not need to get the permission of your neighbor. What you need to do is meet all of the requirements of the ordinance in terms of enclosure, setback, fencing, etc.
All right, and I don't know why I didn't get to this one earlier, because it's probably a bigger deal. But
really?
Yeah.
What's bigger than chickens?
I don't know. I got a whole bit for that coming up in a little bit. Downtown Hotel lost a $500,000 grant. Is that another big setback for the Downtown Hotel partnership?
It's not based on the conversations that I've had with the folks at the state regarding the grant. So one of the issues that we've run up with in terms of some of these grants from the state is that they're intended to move the project at a certain point, and we all thought we would be at that point by now, and we're not there. So the money is available, but until we actually do things for which the grant was allocated to do, we wouldn't be able to access those funds anyway. So the loss of the grant is disappointing for a couple of reasons. One, the project simply has not been able to move the way we wanted to. And as I think I was quoted in the media, I think there's politics at work to that, and we just have to work through a political process in Annapolis to do that. We're optimistic, and we'll continue to be optimistic. This is a good project for downtown Frederick. It's a good project for the community, and our effort since we've come in, and I know it was the effort of my predecessor, to try and find the best project we can for the city of Frederick. And we think we've got that, but if we don't have a project that is shovel-ready, then I'm not surprised that the state would say, well, we're gonna pull the money back. They've left open the possibility in my conversations with the folks that I've talked to that when we get to the point where we're looking to access funds to do the things that these grants would do. And one of the issues is the broad nature of the language that's in them. It talks about funding for a downtown hotel and conference center and associate infrastructure. We have really narrowed the focus of the public funding for this project to the public infrastructure. There's discomfort that there's still a lot of language in some of these other funding mechanisms that talk about the hotel and conference center. While I believe that the funders have the ability to restrict the money, they don't like that the language in the authorizations are as broad as they are. So we're trying to work on that. If we can narrow the authorizations, then we think we can win back support from some folks who don't like the broad nature of where the funds could go, because we have no intention and haven't for a number of years, as we've talked about this project, we are not funding a hotel and a conference center. We're doing public infrastructure support that's necessary and would be necessary for any kind of large-scale economic development project. Anybody coming to Frederick wanting to make a $50 million private investment is going to come to the city and say, there may be infrastructure constraints that would hamper us from making this investment. How can the city help? And I think it would be the city's appropriate role at that point to say, we're here to help.
Okay. Finally, and I asked Jan Gardner the same question, County Executive Jan Gardner, and the reason why I ask it, you and her are both Democrats. I get emails constantly from the state Democratic Party that tells me daily, almost at least weekly, almost daily, that Governor Larry Hogan's doing a horrible job. Do you believe that Governor Hogan's doing a horrible job?
I will only speak about the things that are important to me in the city of Frederick. And one of the things that's important to me in the city of Frederick is this hotel conference center project. And I've been disappointed that we've not been able to make inroads with the governor, the governor's office, to try and get support for this project and to move it forward. He has talked about the importance of economic development in the state of Maryland. That's certainly important to us in the city of Frederick. And we would love to bring the governor here and let him see what we're trying to accomplish with this project and get him on board. At this point, what he has done is he's deferred to Senator Huff and Senator Huff's opposition to this project. Senator Huff does not represent the city of Frederick. Carol Krim, Karen Young, Ron Young represent the city of Frederick. They support this project. They are Democrats. Governor Hogan is a Republican. I don't want to say that that's the politics that's at work here, but I wish we could get past it, because we have a project that we think deserves state support, and I would like the governor to get on board and help us get it done.
Much different answer than the county executive gave. Mayor Mike O'Connor, appreciate your time. 6:52 at WFMD. It's the Morning News Express.
9:30 WFMD traffic for Mid-Maryland commuters.